Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 66, BMW gas versus diesel engines. On this one, I'm going to give kind of a quick, short introduction of when BMW started developing and shipping cars with diesel engines into the USA. And I'm going to talk about kind of, again, the quick differences in technology between gas and diesel, and where we are presently with diesel technology as far as some of the things that BMW specifically is having to do in regards to emission controls. And then I'll kind of have a final closing statement. So hopefully you'll find this enlightening, and we go from there. In the USA, BMW originally introduced diesel engines in cars in 1984, and this was in the E28 524 TD. It was the E28 body style. They were introduced and they ran from 1984 to 1986 or 87. I actually was working at the dealership at that point, and so I was, you know, definitely that was firsthand experience for me. Just real quick, kind of a quick thing that happened is I started the dealership in 1984. And prior to that, by chance, I had worked at a Volkswagen dealership for about 2.5 years. Now, Volkswagen had already introduced a small diesel engine for like the Rabbit. These were models that were available at that time, the Volkswagen Rabbit. I think the Scirocco maybe even had a diesel. I could be wrong about that. And they also eventually ended up developing a diesel for the bus, the Type 2 bus, okay, if I recall correctly. Hopefully that's correct. Also, Volkswagen had a station wagon that had a diesel engine in it. So I had already had like a couple years of training as far as, you know, diesel engine and diesel engine technology with Volkswagen. The thing that I found interesting, and this is why I brought it up, is that when I started the dealership in 1984, you know, of course, I started going to training, obviously. It happened to be located in Marina del Rey, but it was, quote unquote, factory BMW training. The thing that was interesting to me is that I you know, again, I had a couple years under my belt of diesel technology through Volkswagen training and experience of working on those cars. So for me, it was really just a matter of kind of learning, well, how does BMW do this? Okay. The thing I found interesting is that, you know, I'm in class and I'm with other technicians that are considered BMW master technicians. Okay. But because this was the first time that BMW had brought diesel technology into the USA, these guys had no idea or very little experience or background with diesel engines. And it was very interesting to be in a class with, you know, what I considered, I respected them. They certainly had a lot more knowledge at that time than I did in regards to BMWs in general. But their experience was all with gasoline engines. And, I mean, some of them were really got left behind really quickly because BMW in the course of doing this, you know, training, they sort of made the assumption that you kind of either, you know, basically understood diesel technology, the fact that instead of being spark ignition as per gasoline engines, it's what's called compression ignition. Okay. They barely knew that. So a lot of these guys it was like a 1 or 2 day course and they really got left behind pretty quickly. So for me, it was just kind of, well, let's see how BMW does this and we go from there. So in any case, again, they had the 1984 to 87 524 TD. It had a EGR system, exhaust gas recirculation system, to reduce NOx emissions. And the reason that it only went until 1986 or 87 was because the emission rules and regulations were changing. And unfortunately, that by the 86 or 87 model year, the car could not pass NOx emissions, even though it already had an EGR system. Okay, so basically, BMW had to discontinue the diesel engine in the U.S. Okay. And they essentially did that until relatively recently, okay? The first time the diesel was reintroduced back into the USA was September of 08, model year. This was in the 3 Series and the X5, okay? And of course, we've had a diesel since then, and I'll talk more here in depth in a few minutes as far as, you know, where we are right currently with diesel technology. The idea as far as comparing, you know, working on or repairing or cost factors between a gas versus a diesel engine, you know, obviously gas engine technology is much more well known, okay? So wherever it is you're having your car, you know, repaired at, the technicians there are going to be much more familiar with gasoline technology versus diesel, okay? In my mind, that also makes it so the gasoline tech cars are easier to work on, okay? And let's face it, a technician is going to see way more gasoline cars than they will diesel cars, okay? So just from that standpoint alone, the technology becomes much more well-known with gasoline cars. The only difference really service-wise, per se, between a gas engine versus a diesel engine, I mean, obviously gasoline engines have spark plugs, okay, which have to be replaced at certain mileage intervals. And a person could say, well, gee, you see right there, right off the bat, diesel engines don't have that, so therefore they're less expensive to maintain. Well, yes and no. Diesel engines don't have spark plugs, but what they do have is what's called glow plugs, okay? Glow plugs are used to start the engine when the engine is cold, okay? The issue is that diesel, because it is compression ignition, in most weather situations, almost all, if the glow plugs are not working, when you go to crank and try to start that diesel engine, because, I mean, what the glow plugs do is produce a lot of heat within the combustion chamber, either what's called a pre-combustion chamber or within the actual combustion chamber itself. Without that glow plug glowing, i.e. it's a heating element, okay, it heats up the air within the pre-combustion chamber, and then you crank the car over or crank the engine over to start it, and that, you know, heated air mixes with the fuel that's being injected in, and this is what allows it to be able to have compression ignition, and the engine starts when it's cold, okay? Once the engine reaches to a certain temperature, those glow plugs are no longer needed because there's enough internal heat already built up. But if that glow plug system doesn't work, okay, depending upon the ambient temperature, your engine's not starting, okay? Or it's going to start and run on only maybe a couple of cylinders, okay? So, yes, there is a mileage interval of when those glow plugs are supposed to be replaced preventatively. And unfortunately, because they're a bit of a pain to get to, it is not an inexpensive endeavor, okay? It can be a rather expensive, you know, repair. I mean, it's not, well, it's a preventative maintenance item is what it is, okay? Everything else on a diesel, I mean, yes, you certainly have, you know, an oil filter, air filter, those kinds of things. Now, the oil filters are different, okay? The air filters are probably different from the standpoint of just the way they're configured, okay? Fuel filter is definitely different. Yes, on the diesel car, the fuel filter is supposed to be replaced every X number of oil changes. On the gasoline engines, that's not the case. So, frankly, in some respects, the diesel engines are certainly at least as expensive, if not more expensive, to do normal, proper maintenance on them, okay? So a person could go, you know, what's the advantage of a diesel engine versus gas? Well, diesel engines typically get better fuel mileage, okay? They have certainly a much higher torque output. Okay, what is that? Well, torque is the, let's say, the acceleration sensation you get when you're in a vehicle and you punch it. Torque is actually a measurement of twist, a twisting action. Okay, I mean, this is why, you know, big trucks, semi tractor trailers, and so on and so forth, and bigger trucks. This is why they use a diesel engine. Is their pulling power or pushing power, whichever way you want to look at it. Is much, much higher, okay? It's just the nature of the beast as far as comparing a compression ignition engine to a regular spark ignition engine. Diesel engines produce more torque. And like I say, they also get better fuel mileage, okay? The other advantage maybe with diesel engines is that depending upon where you are and where you live, there can be a pretty substantial difference between the cost of diesel fuel versus gasoline. Personally, myself in Southern California, there's times where diesel fuel is actually more expensive than gasoline, okay? That's certainly not always the case. There certainly are places in this country as well as all over the world where diesel is less expensive. So there is that possible, advantage to factor into are diesel cars basically better than gasoline cars, okay? But you do definitely, if you're contemplating changing over from gasoline to diesel, you certainly want to look at that as far as what are your local fuel costs of diesel versus gasoline. There may not be any savings at all, or you could actually end up spending, again, more money, okay? The downside, in my mind, to present, current BMW diesel technology, the issues are, I'm only familiar with the systems and requirements in the USA, okay? Obviously, we have some pretty strong regulations and rules and stuff for, carbon emissions, NOx emissions, so on and so forth. So what I'm going to describe to you may not necessarily be the same type of systems that are used where you live, okay? So I can only speak about the USA. It is quite possible that BMW makes these systems throughout the world because, let's face it, we all live, the air we breathe is all our atmosphere that surrounds the whole world. So one way or the other, it all becomes mixed up. Okay, so the technology that's used, the issues they're having to do is control what's called carbon particulates and NOx. Okay, carbon particulates meaning if you're behind a bus or a truck or maybe even a car and somebody really kind of gooses the gooses the throttle and you see that black smoke come out. That black you're seeing is carbon particulates. It's small particles of carbon, which is part of the byproducts of combustion in regards to diesel engines, okay? There's also what's called NOx, which is oxides of nitrogen. That is what produces, when it mixes with the sun, it's what produces photochemical smog. So that is that haze you see, whether it be orangey brown, whatever the case may be, it is photochemical, and it's called oxides of nitrogen. The USA is, on a big bandwagon to reduce that. The reason being is that NOx or oxides of nitrogen creates potential health issues for either the very young or the very old or people who have any sort of lung issues, whether it be asthma or, emphysema, so on and so forth, okay? It creates health issues for them, okay? It does for all of us. But for typically the very much the young and the old and people that have any kind of lung or breathing issues, it makes it really bad for them, okay? So, the car manufacturers are certainly looking to reduce NOx emissions because they have to, okay? Again, depending upon where you live, your country of origin may have either very tight standards or maybe hardly any at all, okay? So BMW, in regards to carbon particulates, they use what's called a particulate filter. The issue with it, it's in the exhaust. The issue with it is that it can clog up. And this can happen especially if the vehicle is not driven, quote-unquote, normally. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, BMW looks at it as that, sure, you might be driving, around town. That's part of your normal use. But hopefully somewhere in there, you're also getting out on the open highway. In other words, you're driving the car at, freeway, higher speeds for potentially extended periods of time. That's part of what would be considered normal usage. The issue with someone driving the car where they just put it around town, they use it to run errands. Maybe they never really get out of their, their town or the city they live in that much. And so the car is seeing, you know, average speeds of 20 to maybe 45 or 50 miles an hour. It's never really brought up to full speed as far as 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, so on and so forth. The issue in driving the car that way is that the exhaust system, the selective catalytic reduction system, the carbon particulate system, they never necessarily get up really to full temperature. Okay, so unfortunately, in that driving scenario of just putting the car around, then the particulate filter can clog up, okay, which causes obviously issues. Supposedly, the particulate filter can be cleaned either with chemicals. I'll be honest, I don't do a lot of diesel work. In my area, I just don't see that many of the diesel cars. And I really, even though I've got, you know, the background I have in regards to working on Volkswagen diesels and some of the early BMW diesels, I have taken some training certainly on the current versions of BMW diesel engines. And, you know, I didn't want to be operating completely in the dark, and I had to really kind of decide, am I going to get involved in, you know, really get taking care of and getting into some of the repairs that might be required on working on the later model BMW diesels. And frankly, after taking the training and looking at the tool requirements and so on and so forth, and realizing that as of to date, I don't really see that many of them, okay? I might only see one or two a month, if even that, and typically it's really more for just basic stuff, okay? So I made, you know, personally myself, I made the decision to, besides doing just basic maintenance, brake work and just, you know, again, just basic maintenance type stuff, I'm not going to get involved in doing any of the, more in-depth type of repairs on the current BMW diesels that are out there. They require some very expensive special tools. And again, you know, me being a one-man shop, it's not worth it for me. Okay. That's not to say that a shop that maybe works on everything, or they, you know, they have a higher volume, then, you know, we certainly have some people in our group that I belong to that, they do a lot of diesel work. And some of the things I'm going to describe here briefly in a moment are really not based off my own experiences, but off of what I've read about happening as far as in our group of shop owners. So that particulate filter can clog up. And the reason that happens really, again, is because of driving style. Okay. Certainly, I would recommend if you find yourself to where you're just sort of using the car around town and just putting around, I would encourage you, you know, hopefully there are some times where you need to go on longer extended trips, get that car out there and get it up to speed, okay? 60, 70, 80 miles an hour to that effect. If you don't do that, you're going to start potentially having problems. And again, getting back to the carbon particulate filter, supposedly there are chemicals that can be used in different procedures that will clean it. I have heard of mixed results in doing that. Some of them have been to the point where the car started on fire. Okay. Basically what has to happen is there has to be enough heat generated within the exhaust system to actually burn off that carbon that is has formed up in the carbon particulate filter. And the issue, I mean, there's been reports of where, you know, you pour this stuff in and you start running the engine. There's been reports of where the engine will run away. In other words, regardless of where the throttle is, that the engine will literally just start to, the RPM goes higher and higher and higher, and no matter what you do, you can't shut it off, okay? And eventually the engine literally blows up, okay? There's been reported instances of where they're doing this process and the carbon particulate filter, which again is part of the exhaust system, and it starts glowing red, and maybe they don't notice it or whatever, and it starts getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And again, the engine can start to run away. There's a point where this thing will start, it'll start a fire underneath the car, okay? There's been reports of where the car was in a shop And literally, I'm not going to sit here and say the shop burned down, but it started a fire in the shop. There's been reports of where they pushed the car outside, and they, you know, again, if you can't shut the engine off, I mean, it just creates all kinds of crazy problems, okay? Now, is this something that's common? No. No, it's not, okay? And there's been mixed results in using these different chemicals. Some of the guys in our group will basically say the only way they want to safely do this is either out and out replace the carbon particulate part of it, okay, which is a rather expensive endeavor. The other thing they talk about is removing the filter and sending it out and having it baked. They essentially put it in an oven and they get the temperature high enough to where it bakes off the carbon that's in this filter. Okay, but in that scenario, it's obviously away from the car, and you know there's not any kind of these different potential safety issues. Okay, these are just some of the things I've read about and heard about. Okay, so you know, again, I've never actually had to go down that road, and frankly, if a car came in that you know there was an issue like that, I personally myself would not get involved with it. Okay. Like I say, I'm just planning on doing, you know, normal maintenance type stuff. There is also what's called a SCR system, which is a selective catalyst reduction. This is for the NOx emissions, okay? It's a rather elaborate system. There's what's called active and passive fluid tanks that hold what's called DEF fluid, which is diesel exhaust fluid. They call it DEF fluid, D-E-F. It's essentially a mixture of urea and water, okay? A person could go, wait a minute, urea, urine? Are we talking about urine? Well, urea acid is a component of urine, but I mean, it's not, you know, it's not somebody peeing into a bottle and pouring water in there and, okay, there's your DEF fluid. No, it is a component of urine, but you can't pee in the tank in your car and expect that to work properly. Urea acid, the mixture that you buy that's called DEF fluid, it's a mixture of urea, acid, and water, okay? This is highly corrosive. This stuff is nasty stuff. You do not want to get it on the paint on the car, okay? You don't want to get it on your hands, okay? Whether you have a cut or not on your hand by chance, it's going to start hurting. It's going to start basically burning your skin. It's not going to start on fire, but you splash some of that stuff on your skin, you better stop what you're doing as far as pouring this stuff in the tanks that you're refilling or someone's refilling. And you better go wash your hands off with a lot of water, because otherwise it's going to start hurting pretty bad pretty quickly. Okay. As part of even a normal oil and filter change, those tanks, typically the active tank is filled up, or the passive tank. There's two tanks, active and passive. There's also a system, obviously, of lines and internal pumps, the tanks themselves, which are made out of plastic. The issue is that because this fluid is so caustic that over time it starts to eat away at these different parts, whether it be the tank or the internal pumps. There's sensors that can go bad. There's temperature sensors. There's oxygen sensors. It's a very elaborate system. And again, this is all to control NOx. Okay, it has to be on the car. At least in the U.S. it does. Again, I can't speak for other countries. So if you're interested, if you're listening to this podcast and you're in a foreign country, thank you for listening, first of all. But if you're really, you know, super interested, I would suggest you maybe find out if there's differences in the country you live in as far as the way the car is built and what systems are on the car. It is quite possible they're all the same, okay? That's not necessarily the case, though, okay? This fluid has to be put in at every fluid change. The fluid itself is not that expensive, okay? It was when it first came out, but the price of it has come down quite a bit. But, regardless, if someone's doing an oil and filter change for you or if you're doing it yourself, you've got to put this fluid into the active and or passive tank, okay? If it's not added, there's a point where the system will realize that the fluid is getting low. Now, in the U.S., because this is part of an emission control system, If the fluid were to run out, then it would start, obviously the car would start to overpollute. You'd start having excessive NOx, and which is, that would basically mean that the system was no longer working. So in the USA, anything like that, if that were to happen, the EPA says, well, then the engine has to shut down, okay? So what happens when the car's got about, when the fluid level gets low enough to where the system thinks that you can only drive for about another 800 to 1,000 miles, it will start giving you warnings on the instrument cluster or in the center display there that someone needs to add fluid to this car. And as if nothing's done with it, and as that fluid gets lower, those warnings become more, in your face, so to speak. It's a hello, okay? And if you literally were to run the car out of the fluid, the engine will not start. You are done, okay? It's that's it. It's done. As far as, it's not going to start. And the issue that you don't want to really do that, because if you do run it out of fluid and then you add fluid to it, it's going to take a while for that all to get repumped in and rebled to where the car will now recognize, oh, we have fluid. Okay, we'll allow the car to start now. Okay, so it's sort of like fuel. If you run out of fuel, the engine's not going to run. Okay, no fuel, no fire. With DEF fluid, if you were to allow it to run out, the engine's not even going to start. Okay, so again, it's like, you put fuel into the car or it's not going to run. You put DEF fluid into the car or it's not even going to start. Okay, so that's really a lot of that's the biggest difference really between gasoline and diesel. Some people love diesel. It may be beneficial for you where you live, because maybe your gasoline is whatever, $3 a gallon, and the diesel is $1.50 or something. There may very well be a very big cost difference to where it's a savings for you. Some people just for some reason like diesel engines. Not really sure what the draw is to me, but that's me. Okay. Personally, myself, in the area that I live, and knowing what I know, I would not purchase a diesel car. Okay. It just doesn't make sense to me. If I was having to use like a pickup truck or something like that, or I was like hauling a lot of heavy stuff, or if I had a truck that was hauling maybe a camper trailer or something really heavy, then because of that extra torque that a diesel will produce, that in that scenario, I could see where it could be advantageous, okay? But frankly, it would really have to be something that I'm really, I'm using it for that purpose a lot, okay? And in my life, that's not the case. So, again, I just don't see myself ever buying a diesel car, but it's something that you have to look at. I think a lot of people, it's relatively new as far as being back in this country. I think a lot of people thought, hey, okay, diesel, wow, no spark plugs. And that's really all they looked at because they didn't know any better. But I think when you look at the whole picture, and the fact that there's really not that many diesels out there. And so the question becomes, how well versed is a technician going to be in working on diesel versus gasoline? Okay. That's not to say that there aren't technicians out there that love diesel and they love working on them. Okay. They're out there, and there's ones that are certainly very, very good and very well versed. They're highly trained and they're very experienced. Okay. I enjoyed them to some degree when I was working on them at Volkswagen. And I enjoyed them to some degree when I was at BMW at the dealership, but it was pretty short-lived as far as, they stopped making them for this country in 1986 or 87. So after that, it was kind of, all I worked on was gasoline cars. So that's the differences. I hope you found this to be enlightening and increased your knowledge as far as gasoline versus diesel. Again, I'm speaking specifically about BMWs, but I would venture that a lot of the car manufacturers are something similar, because they all have to pass the different smog laws as far as in the USA. So I would imagine that they're probably all doing something similar, but I certainly don't know that for sure. So Anyway, I hope this has helped you to kind of, you know, maybe learn something more about your car if you do have a diesel. And that's great. If you're happy with it, that's really what matters. It doesn't really matter, frankly, what anybody else thinks, okay? If you're happy with it and you find advantages, or maybe you just kind of like the little bit of quirkiness with a diesel or whatever the case may be, that's great, okay? I'm not here to tell anybody what to do, so... in any case, I appreciate you listening. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me via bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. Again, I'm also on LinkedIn, so you're welcome to say hi or whatever, or contact me through LinkedIn. And of course, you can always check out my website. Yes, I do have a repair shop in Southern California. It's called Brad's Motor Works. It's in specifically Newbury Park, California. And I've got a couple different websites you can check out on that, or go from there. Appreciate your time. I hope you have a great day and a fantastic tomorrow. And thank you again for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.